You never actually thought it would be this bad, Roachy, did you?
1 hour, 56 minutes.
Did you think it would be this bad?
I kind of got had a feeling, but, you know, I let myself get caught up in the emotion of it.
It's 4:05 in the evening. Felger and Maz. Dan Roach in for Maz. Felger back in the A-hole chair in our Town Fair Tire Studios. We broadcast here on 98.5 on the FM dial in Boston. Simulcast, as always, across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. We've done a lot of Patriots so far. The James Harrison signing, which I think has reduced Patriots fans to raging frauds. Because you hated this guy 2 days ago, but now he's cool. Like, I just... Okay, so sorry. I have a hard time with that one. Did a little Bruins minute for you. Now we're on the Celtics. You can weigh in on whatever you want. Just on Isaiah Thomas. Is he taking it too far with the boo-hoo? Isaiah crew, the little too much of crying about how the injury was handled last year with the Celtics?
I think after a while, you get kind of sick of it. But, as he said the other day, because they keep asking me about it, so I'm going to give my honest opinion. So kind of caught in the middle on that one. But, yes, it's been enough. And I think it's time to get him on the court, and that's where he'll take it out the most. So that's going to be fun to watch.
To me, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, because, again, him against the world, he elevates. And now you represent, you know, everything he's fought against his whole career.
And he's right in front of you. He's looking at the Celtics, like you said. That's the team right in front of him that he can take out all his anger on.
I'm sorry, you got to respect, when I say respect, just respect his ability to elevate and be a real factor in that case. I mean, he did it for you.
So do you hate him now?
No, why would I hate him? I've always loved Isaiah Thomas.
The flip side of, you know, the Celtics Cavs.
Oh, the Cavs, right? The Celts fan
James
does.
James Harrison goes over there.
Absolutely. The Celts fan now is like, shut up, Isaiah. I'm like, well, this is the exact same. He's just doing everything he's ever done. He's just doing it on a different team now. But now you hate him? Yeah, sure, Roachy. Absolutely. That's obvious. That's obvious.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun to watch? You know, the wins and losses are important too, Mike.
That's
still fun.
To me, it's not fun. He's on our
Why?
Team.
It's Whee! The drama.
He's on
that's
someone else. You suck. Like, that's not fun.
Why?
Like, it takes no intellect.
Day to day. Well, then why do you watch?
It takes no thought. It takes no thought to say he's with us.
It's
Yay,
the drama.
MVP.
It's why you play sports. It's the storylines. It's the passion. It's the human factor that goes into this.
Yeah,
that's what makes it fun.
It's lousy to talk about if you're just going to support what's in your uniform and rail against someone in another uniform. There's nothing worth talking about there. You're just rooting for the laundry. It's the end of the discussion.
Well, that's what a lot of fans do, Mike.
But hold on. I have something for the Celtics fans when it relates to Isaiah. This Isaiah Thomas, do you have the Lisa Salters? You know, do you have that, Roachy? I mean, Billy? Yeah, Rachel Nichols, whoever. I'm sorry. Here's Isaiah. I'm getting caught up. I was gone for a week and a half. Forgive me. This is Isaiah on ESPN right on Christmas.
I want to go back to the injury itself. How much for you when you were deciding to play through it and going through all that was just that same mentality you've always had that we're talking about? Whatever obstacles in front of me, I'm going to get through it.
Yeah. I mean, that was big. Like, I've always, no matter what, I've always played through injury. Like, if I went back and could do it again, I would have sat out the playoffs because I would have been playing right now. I would have been 100% healthy.
Do you wish you had gotten different or more information from the medical staff?
I do wish I had more information. It was never this can be something that can possibly shut you down for a while. Because if that was the case, then I definitely wouldn't have played.
Okay, so there's Isaiah tacitly blaming the team for not sharing all medical information with him.
And Danny Ainge disputed that this morning, right?
So Danny Ainge was on this morning with Johnson and Flynn and said that Isaiah asked, we granted, or I don't know if they had the right to grant, whatever. Isaiah sought a second opinion and got a second outside opinion, which obviously gave him the green light to keep playing. So there's Isaiah blaming the team for not giving him all the medical information. And if he could do it over, he would have sat out. Yet Ainge said this morning that Isaiah went and got a second opinion, and obviously even was on the same page, or that second opinion did not tell him to shut it down.
Don't you think in that instance, as an athlete, you probably aren't hearing that exactly what he's thinking about right now? Do you understand what I mean? Like,
no.
Back then, he's thinking, how can I play through this? Can I get through this? Can I get through this? And if this guy's saying, well, you can get through this, but it's going to be a risk, maybe long-term. You're not listening to that maybe long-term risk. You're saying, can I play tonight? Can I play tonight?
This guy's tough.
And I think that's where it comes back to.
This is a tough kid.
And
he's going to play through injury. So I think him crying now about it is off the mark, fraudulent. I don't know. I mean, whatever you want to call it. Like,
I don't think it's fraudulent. I think it's off the mark.
It's fraudulent. It's like, Isaiah, you would have played through anything because that's who you are. So don't give me this stuff about, you know, if you could do it all over again, you would have sat. No, you wouldn't have.
Yes. Agree with you on that.
You are who you are, right? And that's why you were loved here, and that's why you've become a success in the NBA at 5 foot whatever, like, because of that approach. So, like, I think he's being a fraud about that. And I think he's a diva. Like, this whole Book of Isaiah thing and the Players Tribune, is that what this is called? It's like a five-part reality series on Isaiah Thomas? Like, do you have just a sample of that, Billy, from last week?
when Danny called me. I missed the call. When I got back to Seattle, I missed his call. He texted me, IT, give me a call back. Called him back. Then he asked me how I was doing. I was like, I just got back to Seattle. He knew I was on my anniversary. He knew I was in Miami. So I said, I just got back to Seattle. I'm chilling, headed home. And then, like, it got a little quiet. And then that's when he broke it to me. He's like, well, IT, I just traded you. And saying what I've done for the city and how what I meant to him and all that bullshit.
Talking about my kids about to start school off the strength, after everything I went through. So, I mean, that's really wrong. Danny's like that, but I'm not tripping. It's just crazy that they would do that. Like, I'm not mad. Like, I'd be mad if I went to a weak ass team. It's like, we're going to win the finals anyway. Like, that's what's crazy, but it's just like, damn, after all I do for the city, going to be mad as.
Everybody in that stadium wears a IT jersey. Nobody knows. That was for him to call me. He didn't tell nobody. And I was cool in Boston. I knew my way around. I need to go home. I got this and I think I look better.
So, again, a lot of that you couldn't really understand, but it's just the drama. Oh, my God. Is this guy a drama queen? Really, NBA. You know, this has become the NBA. I call it the Real Housewives of the NBA. It's just this sort of catty, dramatic, overhyped, just... Ah, the drama with this Isaiah. But in some ways, I don't blame him. You know why, Rochie? Because the people around here made him an MVP. The guy goes through the free throw line and you chant MVP. Where did he finish in the MVP voting? Fifth? Fourth? Where was he? Seventh? Hook, do you know where he finished in the MVP voting?
No, but I can find
him. Okay, so it seems to me like Isaiah has a little inflated sense of self-worth. Where do you think he got that from? You? You! Yeah, because you treated the guy like Michael Jordan. You chanted MVP for the fifth place finisher in the MVP. So now he's got a little bit of a head case. He's got a little bit of a complex. Where do you think he got that from? Oh, I don't know. Maybe you blowing smoke up his keister for 3 years here in Boston. I think everyone would have a little bit of a complex with the way you treated the guy. So now he thinks he's Michael Jordan. Wow, I wonder where he got that idea. Oh, I do know. You. So you created this monster. That's my take on that, Rochie.
Where are you going with it?
Nowhere. Just other than to sort of rail against the fans a little bit. Because I thought the treatment of him here was like, oh my God. Like in a lot of things, Celtics. Over the top.
I thought he was great when he was in a Celtics uniform.
I loved him.
I thought he was
But
fantastic.
Here's the difference. I still love him. Yeah. I still love his makeup. He could play for me any day of the week. I love his whole approach, his whole package. I love the whole thing. But I like that here, and I like it in Cleveland. And he's still being the exact same guy he always was.
Right.
But I think that his head has gotten even bigger now because of the way that he was pumped up here.
But I think that's the way of the NBA, too.
Yes,
you know
it
what I
is.
Mean? It's like, let's pump up these superstars.
Is he a true superstar?
Well, he's a legit close superstar.
Okay, what does
he's
that mean?
He's not LeBron.
What does that
he's
mean?
He's the second tier of superstars.
Define that.
Right, because Kyrie Irving's a superstar.
Right,
you
exactly.
Know? And that's what we're seeing. But when he was here, the way he played, the way he helped this team rise, you know, to better than they were, he was a superstar.
I just think you helped create this monster. You helped fill this guy's head with this idea that he is, that he's worthy of the Book of Isaiah, like a five-part reality series. Like I think you helped create that monster.
And this is what makes it fun now is to watch how he blends with LeBron James. You know, that's the stuff that I like to see. That's the stuff that I don't worry about
how the
standings are at the end of the day. Because if I want to see that storyline unfold.
If he comes back and shoves it up your backside, that's a good story.
Well, and it wouldn't be a surprise, would it, right now? Because the Celtics haven't developed to where they feel they are going to be in 1 or 2, 3 years.
And let me give you another story. And it's all related to the scoreboard, Rochie. I'm sorry. It's related to who wins and loses.
But it isn't. You know what I meant by that. Don't take my words just for what I said because wins and losses. It's way beyond wins and losses that makes sports enjoyable to me.
Let me give you another good story. That if Isaiah comes back and falls on his face, after all the drama and the whining and the carrying on, if he comes back and doesn't make a lick of difference and you roll through the Cavs, that's a good story. If he comes back and shoves it up your backside, that's a good story. But unfortunately, Roach, it's all related to who wins and loses.
At the end of the day, yes, but I'm talking about those stories. That's why I like what we see. That's why I watch every night. That's why I care to see it.
Who are you betting on? Isaiah and the Cavs or the Celts?
Right now?
Yep.
Gun to my head, Isaiah and the Cavs.
What do you think, Hook?
Yep. Because, again, they get him back. The Celtics don't get anyone like him back.
They don't. Is Isaiah going to make that big of a difference there?
I think he can.
I think he can, yeah. To help them beat the Celtics, yes. And I think the Celtics aren't where they think that they could. I don't think they're championship level yet.
And he's still looking for that Brinks truck. He was talking about it as recently as this past week.
The motivation is through the roof.
Yes, for him. Yeah.
Financial motivation.
Stick it to the Celtics, and he needs that money.
Absolutely.
Now, the question also goes beyond that. If that's the case and that happens, what happens to Isaiah? Does he stay in Well, where's LeBron going? Where does Isaiah go? That's the next chapter for him if you're going to get the music and everything else for the Players Tribune. Is where's Isaiah going now?
Okay, let's get through this chapter,
That's the story, Mike. That's fun.
Let's see
Mike,
let's see who wins.
That's what I love about sports, Mike.
Let's see who wins and loses it. And then we'll check the standings the next day. CBS Sports Minute brought to you by Stop and Shop. Then I promise your calls.
Felger and Mez.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5. The Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Okay, to your phones, as promised. Here's Anthony and Hingham, our conversation about Brady. Does his recent play concern you? Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, Brady's recent play definitely concerns me, especially going into the playoffs here. Tucker, I have a couple questions for you. Do you think you think he's injured, right?
Oh, I think he's hurt, yeah. But I mean,
do you think it's multiple injuries, or do you think it's just one?
No, I think he's got multiple injuries, but I don't know if that's the full story, Anthony. I mean, I'm not totally blaming the injuries. It could be part of maybe mentally he's not 1,000% because of the Guerrero stuff. Maybe.
Oh yeah. You think it's the Guerrero stuff? Yeah.
I'm not saying it's not any one thing, but I'm definitely not. It's not just injuries, and could it just be Anthony that he's not playing well? That on top of it all, he's just. Go ahead.
Oh, I think his thumb's hurt. That's inaccurate. He hasn't, and his Achilles is, he's rushing himself. He's trying to get rid of the ball too quick.
He's not letting Cooks get down the field.
Okay, I'm going to let you go because you're all over the
place.
How
does it change like that, the phone?
I don't know.
Technology, it's a crazy, crazy
but
thing.
But I think it could be a combination of everything with Tom. But to me, clearly there's no doubt when it's needed, he has it. And he had it again against Pittsburgh in the second, down the stretch with Gronk, and he had it against Buffalo in the second half. But I think there's something there. He's been battling through injuries, and I think there may be something happened. We know that with the whole Guerrero thing, and I think there was definitely some factors that maybe, and you know these elite athletes, especially the greatest, that there's a little, fragility mentally. Some things throw them off. Some things aren't right. That maybe it gets them a little bit.
Okay, could it all be the fact that he's 40 and it's December and he's playing a full slate of games where last year he didn't? And, Greg Bedard wrote an interesting story on this on his Boston Sports Journal about his December quarterback numbers. And they're down, and they've sort of been down. Last year was a spike. So here, let me give you his numbers in December.
Sure.
Starting 2012 when he is... What, at the age of, I don't know, call that 36?
Yeah, I was going to say 35, 36.
Okay, so whatever that is. Quarterback ratings in December, 86. The next year, 89.4. The next year, 84.3. Then 92.4. Then last year, 99.9. And then this year, back down to 81.5. It's the lowest December quarterback rating he's had, I think, since 2002, as Greg wrote. So December's been a bad month for him in his late 30s, except for last year when...
It was November to him.
He missed the first four games and was four games fresher, etc. So do you put any stock into that?
Sure, absolutely. He takes a lot of hits back there. This year he's taken a lot of, there was questions about that offensive line. What are they doing? He's getting hit so many times in certain games. Absolutely. The cold weather factor too. As you get older, the arm and the looseness and things like that. So yes, there's no question about that too. But it also, part of it is, if you want to go the other side of, the opponent. They're playing the teams that, Miami, we see that he has a hard time with, the Jets, the Bills, and you can say anything you want about the AFC East, but when you play these teams a second time, it's like the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Bengals. When they play each other a second time, they know each other so well that things kind of change and it's a little bit more difficult.
So look, I wouldn't bet against the guy. I'm not doing that, but I thought he was below average in Miami, and I thought the first half in Buffalo, he flat out sucked. I mean, just that was as bad as I've seen him. Those six quarters together, the Miami and then the first half of Buffalo, like woof. And then he got it together, and, after he threw the pick six, I think they scored on every possession the rest of the way.
Same thing in the Super Bowl.
Well, so when you're saying, when he needs it, it's still there, I think, I would agree with that. But I think the dips have been a little bit lower than I'm used to seeing. Anthony on the Cape. What do you got, Anthony?
Felger.
Yes, Anthony.
How you doing? Great to have you back. Real quick, just Roach doesn't know what he's talking about with the Bruins. I take part in you after Thanksgiving with the Bruins early season take. I was wrong. The window isn't 2 to 3 years. The window's now, okay? The window's now. What? I want to talk about the Patriots, but tell me why they can't win this year. They have a great team. They're as good as anybody. They're a top 10 team. Real quick with the Patriots.
Okay, no, so hold on. Let me tell you why I think they can't win at all. They just don't have depth of forwards. They don't have depth of elite players. They've got a great first line, and they've got, you know, what turns out now to be a great defenseman in McAvoy. And I think that the bottom of the roster is nice. I like it. Young, developing, all of that. Their second line is Kaka, Anthony, especially if Krejci's there. It's just I don't think they have the depth of high-end talent.
I like the Backus Heinen line. I think they can acquire. Look, I disagree. I think I was right earlier, and I'm right now. This team is a contender. Let me just say real quick about the Patriots. I'll call back on the Bruins another time. But with the Patriots, the Patriot way is a complete media and fan fraudulent thing, okay? Guess what the Patriot way is? Belichick tells you every week. It's about winning, okay? They lost their soul last year. Did they lose their soul when they had the greatest comeback in sports history?
How did I say last year?
Well, who did they sign before the end of the season? The drunk driver.
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
Are you kidding me? So what I'm trying to say is, listen, it's about winning. Belichick, we've seen him cheat. We've seen him do everything to win, okay? This is about winning at all costs, and I love it.
Okay, fair enough. James Harrison was an a-hole to every single one of us 2 days ago. Now he's not. You can play that game. That's fine. The guy's still an a-hole. He's one of the worst guys in all of sports.
And maybe I was misinterpreted on what I was saying about the Bruins. I love what they're doing. I think it's fun. I think it's the development and everything else. Can they go a couple series in far? Sure. But I don't think that they're a Stanley Cup championship-winning team right now. But, again, it's part of the development that I think that's going to make it fun, and it's maybe a little earlier than we thought.
Here's why they can go on a run. They now have a number one defenseman who can log 20. He's a kid.
He's unbelievable.
He's a rookie, but, I mean, that's where it begins and ends on a lot of these runs. It's almost as important as goaltending now, Roach. You have that number one defenseman that just chews up those minutes and plays 25 to 30 minutes a night and controls the pace of play. And, like, let's look at Carlson last year in Ottawa. I mean, it just goes so far if you have one of those guys. And you might have one of those guys. So, can you go deep? Yeah. You can.
What's up with Carlson, by the way? Did you see that last night, the goal Nash scored? How he just outgained Carlson?
Right, oh, yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know if that foot's still bothering him from last year in the playoffs, but, man, you were watching that like, wow, what the heck?
Agreed. Here's Joe in Boston on James Harrison. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, so the thing with the Globe about veteran leadership, that's a complete joke. I mean, if you're bringing in James Harrison for a team that's ran by Tom Brady, I have a big problem with that. Also, so I'm on your side, Felger, basically is what I'm saying. He's the face of the enemy. That's the other reason I don't like it. James Harrison in your locker room is not good for the Patriots. They got too much to lose, so I'm on Felger's side with this.
Well, why is it not good, though?
Because he's the face of the enemy.
So?
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I mean,
so
what? Can he help them win a game? Can he make a sack and make a key play?
Well, Joe, let me help you. I don't care that he played on a different team. I don't care less. I don't care that he called you cheaters. Like, that's not my thing. I think he's a quitter and a bad guy, and he totally bailed on Pittsburgh this past year. And I think he's just another loudmouth Steeler loser. And even though he's won. So I know I just say that because I just feel like saying it. He's won two Super Bowls.
But I don't think
so
he necessarily bailed on Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh bailed on him.
Roach.
He was 39 years old. Roachie. He considered himself an elite player, and they basically told him, you're not going to play.
And David Harris.
They just cut him. That's what he's saying.
And David Harris is in the exact same spot here in New England. Did he snore openly?
No, but David Harris is coming meetings? From an organization that won all the time. Harrison is used to being part of playoff games, wins.
So what?
L's.
So what? Just because James Harrison wasn't playing does not give an excuse to behave the way he behaved. I'm telling you, David Harris is in the exact same spot here in New England. And he's done nothing from everything I can tell.
Right.
But he's happy
to be on a winning team.
Well, I just
Harrison isn't just satisfied with being on a winning team. He wants to play.
So he's going
to
bring a recliner. This is what he did.
Why'd you let him bring a recliner if you're Mike Tomlin?
Bringing a recliner into the team meeting and openly snoring. Mocking Joey Porter, the coach.
Why would you let the coach? Why would the coach let him do that? Yeah, that's my question. Say goodbye to him before that.
This is a bad story.
Or
about
send
Harrison,
him home.
But it says a lot about the team.
Of course it does.
Send him home.
The Steelers are stupid. I agree. Now talk about the player. Talk about the player. That's what you want on the team.
In what sense?
You want that guy that's going to shoot his way
that's
out of town
do
like
so
that.
That's going to do so much that he wants to get out of there because he wants to play and wants to win.
So wait, now that's the mark of a winner?
No, it's not a mark of a winner. It's a mark of him getting out of there.
Oh, my God, Roachie. Do they issue the Patriots footy pajamas when you do the preseason game?
No.
Like, are they are they team issued?
Well, yeah, but no.
Come on.
I just
on.
Think he did everything he could to get out of there.
This is no
That's
one's
all.
This is,
he is, and can he make one play to help you?
James,
if he makes one sack, Mike, in a critical situation, if he makes a high tower sack in a huge play, a huge situation, is it worth it for Belichick and the Patriots?
Then you've won with a bad guy that you have no use for.
Don't worry about him being a bad guy because he's number 55
James Harrison,
right now in the locker room. Nobody's paying attention to him on the roster. He's the bottom. You got McCourty, you got Brady, you got your leaders.
Roach,
they're fine.
James Harrison is not your kind of guy. He never was. He never was. And it's unseemly for you to be pretending like suddenly he is. This is a mark of character now. Of what he did.
I think it's too late in the season
to
worry about the mark of character.
It's never
never
too late to worry about anything. Quickly, Brian in Salem. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, two things. One, Mike, great job taking the Monday off after the Steelers game. Really, really superb job of working. Like, way to go. Your only job is to talk about sports, and you miss the Monday after the biggest game of the season. Bravo. And you also ridicule people for taking time off all the time. Bravo. Number two, I love how you hammer on Harrison like he's some a-hole. But we've accepted other a-holes before. There's nothing wrong with it. And you even said bring on the a-hole related to a different sport, but it's okay just because the team stinks.
Yes, it's different. If it's the NBA and you're desperate for talent, you got to bring in the a-hole. You have no other choice. The Patriots, with winning 2 out of 3 Super Bowls, 5 total going on 6, best team in the league. They're desperate for James here. This knucklehead, would you stop? And I'll have you know, for the Steelers game, I flew up for the game to do the pre and post on NBC Sports Boston, then flew back. So I did actually come up for that game. So that's on the table. We've done everything, basically. I'm going to give Rochi a Red Sox minute coming up as well. I'm sure he's thrilled with the Red Sox offseason.
Loves it.
What do you think in terms of the Red Sox, Hook? Do you think he cares about the wins and the losses or the standings?
No.
It's just all about the process?
He just wants to see good guys get out there in the field. Good guy Mitch Moreland will be out there in the field.
Twist by words.
Here's Hook's update, then we're right back.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
All right, Dan Roach alongside here on Felger and Maz, filling in for Maz in the Maz chair. Let's give these guys the...
Hold on a second. I'm just taking off my footy pajamas for the Patriots and putting my Red Sox on.
Here we go. Yeah. Red Sox Minute with Dan Roach and Marshall Hook. I want to start with Hook, because I want to start with the negative. And then hear you respond. How do you feel about the Red Sox offseason, Hook?
It's been a disaster from beginning to end. It starts and is a big chunk of Mike Stanton, or Giancarlo Stanton. I don't blame them for not getting him, right? Because you can't control that. He's basically the combination of a free agent and a trade because of his whole no trade clause. But what we get from the reporting and what we've gotten from the quotes from Dombrowski himself is he barely tried. He basically made one call in the beginning and they still had a high price tag on him. Then he said, no, we're not. And at the end, he's like, oh, okay, the price tag's come down. Let me make another call. And they say, yeah, we're kind of down the road with the Yankees. Okay, there you go. I mean, what is that? I'm not blaming them for not getting them. I'm blaming them for not trying when you go into an offseason where what you need more than anything in the world is power. And that's what that guy has in spades, and he's the only one of him out there. There is nobody else like him, and he went to your main rival who already had a 50 home run hitter. Now they have 2 of them, so I blame him for that. The response since then has been to re-sign Mitch Moreland. Mitch Moreland? I get to hear people talk, oh, that's a good signing. That's a good signing. Because, you know, Mitch Moreland is in such rare availability out there. There are not a lot of Mitch Morelands out there that we really need to get that guy who is not nearly the defender at first base that people tell me he is. And he's a thoroughly mediocre, you know, truly by definition, mediocre, middle of the pack offensive bat. And they have done nothing else except hire a manager. And I think they're going to rest on that and say, oh, look, we got a new manager. So everything is fine now.
Daniel?
I don't disagree with some of the things that Marshall said. I think in regard to Stanton, I think maybe there should have been more of an effort to, if you feel that was your guy, if you feel that power was your guy. Now, that you can also say, do you feel like you would have fit into Boston, his personality? Are you worried about his body 5-10 years down the road like Pujols? But I don't disagree with that perhaps there should have been an effort. What I understand, it was exactly like that, and that they never really followed up, and that Stanton had him on their no-trade list or whatever, but you could have gotten him to bend on that. But I will say that I think their biggest move was Cora. And I think whether you're liking it or not, Dave Dombrowski's going to either go down with the ship with these young kids of Benintendi, Bradley Jr., Bogarts, and Betts. That's how he's going to live and die. And they think that Cora can get to him. They can get to Hanley, who, what I understand, is now into pliability.
Oh,
that's going to be the big thing. But the one thing that I would pursue, and I would continue to pursue it, and I think it may be closed, but I would try to find a third team and go get Manny Machado and put him in a Red Sox uniform and make him your core guy.
You say third team because you don't think Baltimore will deal directly?
I don't think they would deal directly with the Red Sox. I don't know if the Red Sox match up with what they have or what they want as far as starting pitchers, two controllable young starters. I don't think Erod would satisfy their need. And
if they do nothing, how would you feel about it the rest of the way?
I'd be disappointed. I think, you know, what they have right now is the game of poker with J.D. Martinez and Scott Boras, and Scott Boras always wins.
Would J.D. Martinez excite you?
I don't know if excitement's the right word. I think he would be...
Hook. You speak up.
No. He would be in need. You know, he'd fulfill a power need. Yeah, the guy's giving you...
I mean, sure. Are you ready to rely on him to be a reliable power guy year in and year out? Because he's put together two good half seasons, one of them coming right before he was a free agent.
I think if you listen to
what... So you're going to hand the guy a 6 or 7 year contract worth $25 million a year?
Which would
would have ended up paying Stanton if you'd gotten him.
Yeah, I would go 5 years, and you would pay Stanton 10 years.
I'll take that.
Okay, fine. I would go 5 years with Martinez, and if you're going to have to overpay for a little bit 5 years, then fine. I think that he's a solution and helps with your power. Is the be-all, end-all? No. That's why I said I would go after Machado. But if they sign Martinez, and what I would do is I would take Arizona, who's supposedly looking to re-sign Martinez by getting rid of Greinke, I would inquire about Greinke. I'd rather see the Red Sox load up on another pitcher and try to beat the Yankees that way, as opposed to getting in here and the guy maybe you don't want in J.D. Martinez.
Right now, who wins the division?
Right now?
Right now.
On paper?
That's all we got.
I don't know. I would say Red Sox Yankees are the two favorites to win the division.
Thank you.
It depends on how pitching goes.
Thank you for that. Between the Red Sox and so
I don't know, Mike. I don't know what's going to happen at the trade deadline. I don't know.
Are you going to get
I don't know health wise. I don't know if they're going to underperform or overperform.
Do the standings matter here?
On paper,
do the standings matter in this case?
Sure. By the end of the day, yes. But there's also the development matters too.
If you had
day
to pick,
by day, game by game,
if you
to
had
see
to pick
if
Betts one.
Can develop and be better than he was last year.
You don't do this? You don't look out ahead and say they're better than
the other? I hate spring training predictions. I hate spring training predictions because I go back to what Theo said. And I don't know if you know this, but Theo's been a pretty good general manager for all these years. That he says, in baseball, you can be good on paper, it doesn't matter. If you're one of the eight teams that are in the dance at the end, then you have a chance. That's what I want to see from the Red Sox.
Did you feel
something
like,
tells me he thinks the Yankees are better?
Well,
right
obviously,
I don't yet.
Bring
did you
to
starting
feel,
pitching? I don't yet. I question them.
Headed into the playoffs last year, did you feel? The Red Sox were in, right? Did you feel as though they had any legitimate chance of winning the World
if
Series?
If their young guys stepped up in the moment and played like they needed to play in the playoffs, sure, because you had Sale.
Yeah, okay.
And it didn't work, but they were there.
I felt as though the entire season, I said, yeah, they'll win the division. I said this on your program many times, Michael. They will win the division, and they will lose in the first round of the playoffs because they have no team that's really built to win, you know, the World Series. Because when they play the good teams, they didn't do very well. They beat up on the bad team. Sure, that's great. But they are not built to win a World Series.
But did you predict, you know, last year or 2 years ago that the Indians would be the team that would be in the World Series with the Cubs? I mean, that's the beauty of it, is playing out the season, see who develops, doesn't develop, and then you get there, you have a chance.
Okay.
And it's for me, that's why I love the game. That's why I like to watch.
You got that
from
the Red
Sox. But you can't sit there and say right now that the Red Sox...
You don't get that twice in a decade. You don't get that twice in a century.
How do you know? I mean, that's... Again, then why watch?
I can look at 150 years of baseball.
Then don't
watch.
Then don't watch the games. If you already think the Red Sox are done, why watch?
I can enjoy a game on its own.
It doesn't sound like it.
We're in the offseason where I see a guy who's getting paid literally millions of dollars to build this team into something, and he's sitting going, I'll make two phone calls to the guy that's got the best bat out there, and then I'll leave the winter meetings early, and I'll just, you know, whatever. Other guys will make the presentation for Ohtani. I'll just let them do. I mean, I don't have the time.
I think Dave Dombrowski has an issue of public relations and explaining what he's doing.
Work.
I think he works his tail off. I really do. You know, he had two guys, Allard Baird and company, that were on the whole Ohtani thing, and it was clear that Ohtani was going to the West Coast no matter what. The Yankees, Cashman said the same thing. Cashman was on top of the building, climbing down.
That's another thing
saying Mickey's a pitch for him. But I don't think it's because Dombrowski hasn't worked.
We already know where he's going, so I don't have to try.
No,
so
I think do you know if they tried? Do you know if they tried?
Well, Dombrowski didn't.
Yeah, he said himself. He
relied
on
his two guys that made this presentation. Was he there? Yes. Was he part of it? Yes. Was he there to answer questions?
Not really.
Now, I'm not saying it's not the right thing, but I can't say that he didn't work.
Okay, add that to the list of topics. We'll get right back to you. And I will introduce one more thing.
I think I'm done.
No, Roach, you sit your country ass down. You got an hour and 12 minutes to go. Sit down and don't shut up. Ugh. Keep bringing your brand of sports commentary here.
It's hard.
But I think the most interesting story of all of these is what I'll talk about next in our long commercial-free segment, so don't go anywhere.
Boston's home for Felger and Maz.
Oh, hot dog.
Oh, wait.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
That's an interesting story, and it's all about the scoreboard and the standings.
Or the development of Jimmy.
The stakes, the consequences of whatever happens on either side. I'll give you the good story. If Garoppolo falls on his face, and this is just sort of a false start, right? This is just a mirage, and he doesn't turn out to be a very good quarterback, then Bill and the Patriots got it right again. Sold at just the right time, got the most out of Brady, used Garoppolo's motivation, then fleeced the Niners, and the Patriots win again. Good story. I know you all like that one, no matter how many times it happens. Happens all the time. It'd be another one. And good story. You'll take it. What if the guy turns into a real player? What if the kid turns into a real player and is a legit championship caliber quarterback? What if he's that?
Well,
and you had a chance to extend this thing by another 10 to 12 years, and you didn't because Brady was just playing too well. The business ramifications of Brady, you didn't. The coach wanted to. I don't know, whatever the reason is. That's a whopper of a story too, Rochi.
Yeah, it's a huge story. But I think, you know, you have to make a decision, right? I think it's pretty much a no-brainer at this point that you ride the guy that's 40 years old and has won you 5 Super Bowls. I think it's anything else, you know, if it's me, I think you just got to keep going with that. And Brady says he can play to 45, then you have to trust him and go from there.
So
now, good luck to Jimmy. And, you know, I think it's tremendous. I think it's a tremendous story. And if he helps lead San Francisco to, you know, to 5 Super Bowls, then, you know, so be it. They got you. But at the present day situation, and if Bill Belichick felt differently, so be it. But Robert Kraft felt that this guy, for what he's done, for what he meant to this organization, it's the keys are still his, and go forward with it.
But if you look back, so, I mean, it's twofold. I mean, one is you can blame the team for not sticking with the guy who's going to give you another 12 to 15 years, 10 to, you know, whatever, you know, another decade, call it, of Jimmy Garoppolo. You can blame him for that. I think that's a hard call, as you just said, because Brady's won 2 out of the last 3 Super Bowls and is still the best quarterback in the league. So you don't, it is awfully hard to move on from a guy who's playing the way Brady's playing right now.
He's probably going to be the MVP, right? Or 1-2 right there.
So how do you move on from the MVP when he's in the middle of winning 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4 Super Bowls? Like, who does that? So I don't necessarily blame the team in the short term for doing that. I don't blame him. I don't blame him for that. That'd be a hard call to get rid of Brady at this stage. But that is a second guess. That's still, you look at it, you look at the actuarial, what do you call those? The actuarial tables? And you just look at, you know, the lifespan of Garoppolo versus the lifespan of Brady, and you say to yourself, if it was purely up to the coach and what's in the best long-term interest of the team, then it is Garoppolo over Brady. But anyway, that's but the other half is the return. The return. I mean, you could have gotten much more than you got. You could have gotten much more if you hadn't just rushed it at the trade deadline. And it was really like an overnight thing. Bill, you know, from what you understand, Bill wakes up that morning and calls Shanahan. Says, call me back. Do you want Garoppolo for your second? And Shanahan calls Lynch, and they call him. I say, yes, and it's done. It's not like the Garoppolo wasn't shopped. He wasn't leveraged. They didn't play one team against the other. Certainly, if they wanted to maximize the value, they trade him the previous offseason at the draft. So
I think Bill wanted to keep him, and he was doing everything he could to keep him, right? And part of it, too, is Jimmy. Like, Jimmy didn't want, I'm sure, Belichick and Caserio thought maybe they could sign him to an extension at their price or what have you, and Jimmy wanted to play.
So either way, that's a miscalculation on the part of the Patriots.
Yes.
I mean, that's a, you know, the return is going to be the legit second. Is the one that I think you don't have much room to debate. That they could have gotten more and they mismanaged the asset if Garoppolo turns into a great player. If he doesn't, then, you know, he's worth right. a high second. Which is going down by the day, by the way. Because he keeps winning there. But the return is going to be the legit second guess, especially if he turns into a great player. You say, you had the next guy. You traded him for a second. You just woke up one day and decided to trade him when you had a chance to get so much more if you had done it earlier or even waited, you know, really went through the process, but you didn't. You know, what are you doing? Like, that's going to be the big second guess. The other thing about whether you should have stuck with Garoppolo over Brady, that's hard, man. That's going to be hard to look back and say you should have gotten rid of Brady at that time. He's, you know, he's on a run where he's playing exceptionally well. So that is a little bit of an unfair second guess. But, boy, it's fascinating. You know, Garoppolo goes out there. All the Garoppolo doubters out there, how do you feel? You feel it's just a flash in the pan? I mean, when you look at his whole sample now, his full
and
breath.
And then you watch that NFL, you know, clip where he's talking about the hip movement with the safeties and what the receivers could do, and let's go over things with the offense coordinator. You're like, Wow.
He's now started six games. He's got a 101.8 quarterback rating. He's completed 68% of his passes, and he's thrown 10 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. I mean, so the sample's sort of growing here. Like, this isn't just one or two games. This is now half a dozen over his career. I would say he has thrown 3 interceptions this year. He's 5 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this year. He throws a pick a game, it feels like, which is going to, you know, sort of in his makeup, he's a little bit of a risk taker. But, boy, if he turns into that guy, that's a whopper. You're going to be looking at that for years and years to
but
come.
I also think it's hard to project that far ahead. Like, you know, with Brady, you know, you got a second half 28-3 deficit.
So hold
come
on,
back
so hold
in.
On. You're giving Bill a break if he didn't know what Garoppolo was going to be?
No, I'm saying even if he knew what he was going to be, even if he thought what he was going to be, I think Garoppolo, we haven't seen him play a pressure game yet with everything on the line.
We haven't. Bill had him in his building for 4 years. He knew or should know.
No, fine, but I'm saying you haven't seen, even Bill can't project how he's going to play in an AFC championship game. We don't know that.
No.
He can't even project how he's going to play if your team's down 28-3 in a Super Bowl.
But you can't do that with anyone, Roach.
You can do it with Brady because you've seen it.
Oh,
how many
no,
times?
No, no, no. Well, okay, but I'm
so that's
about...
why you keep him for the next four
no,
years.
No,
that's
no.
why you can't second guess that.
Okay, the question is no, but
it's the compensation you second guess.
But
that's it.
Right. That's not even debatable. But the first part is no. Whoever the next quarterback is, you're going to have to project what he can do in those pressure situations. You can't, whether you're picking him first overall or he's your bench guy. I mean, you have
yes,
no idea.
But it's not a given.
Of course it's not.
But you have
given.
A given right here today.
If you think it was just up to Bill Belichick, what does he do? Just Bill.
It's a good question.
Thank you.
You know, it is.
Okay, so again, and so was Bedard on yesterday? Was it yesterday or the day before? Bedard was on yesterday.
Yesterday.
And so he floated this, and we'll take you to the top of the hour, and then I promise, to your phones. He floated this yesterday during his stint here, and I totally am buying, because I think Bedard's largely right. He was all right about the Guerrero stuff that he got dumped on for when he said it here 2-3 weeks ago, and it all turned out to be true. So Bedard's usually tapped in on this stuff. And to me, it just makes perfect sense, because the way they mismanage the asset is so unlike them. So what happened? Did something happen? Here's Bedard yesterday here was it with Hardy?
Garoppolo has nothing to do with Tom's, let's qualify, let me put this in air quote unquote, struggles over the past 4 or 5 weeks. You know, because for the most part he's been good, but he just hasn't played to his same level. Okay, Garoppolo has nothing to do with it. Do I think that part of it has to do with maybe Guerrero and some of the comfort level there? Possibly. I'm not going to say yes.
Here, just stop for a second. It's like Anelli is so afraid to give a take. Good God, Bedard! Don't be so afraid. So gun shy to say it. Could it possibly be related to Guerrero not being there and him being uneasy? Maybe. I'm not going to say that, but, you know, possibly. Good God, he's like you, Roachy. Just afraid to be accused of clickbait.
Shut up, Mike.
So petrified of saying something interesting. Go ahead.
Their haul for Garoppolo. How do I say this without getting into trouble?
Well, you're not going to get in trouble with me.
No, you know. Let's just say that I think more things are going to come out about this trade and the circumstances around it after the season.
Wow. What do you think he's trying to... I'm just going to pretend he's not there for
okay.
a second. What do you think he's trying to say?
More circumstances
around
the trade.
Are we
going to
find out that Jimmy Garoppolo was a problem in the clubhouse?
No, I think you're going to find that somebody's hand was forced into making the trade, and that person said, fine, you want me to trade him? I am purposely not going to get the best deal for it just to stick it to the person who's forcing me to make this trade.
All right, Greg, he and I have discussed it.
Very warm.
We think it has something to do with being forced to make a trade.
It's very possible.
Oh, good job, Hook. So that whole intrigue to me is just such a great story. Because it really, for a team and a guy that really controls the chessboard and knows is always two steps ahead of everybody, for them just to wake up on the morning of the trade deadline and call Shanahan and say, do you want him? Makes no sense. So something happened, and something was forced. And it's hard not to tie the Guerrero thing into it, because it all sort of times out that...
After, in what way?
Well, after Garoppolo was traded, Guerrero stopped traveling with the team. And I don't know if it was the very same week, but it was close enough. It was right around that time. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's just hard not to play it out in your head, like quid pro quo, where Bill says, fine, I'll trade the guy, but you get this Guerrero guy out of here for me. Like, I don't know, you know, like just, I have no idea, right? But you just, it's hard not to just look at the timing of it, of Brady, Guerrero, Garoppolo gone, someone's hands being forced, someone liked them the way they managed it. Like, if you were going to trade Garoppolo, you wouldn't have traded Brissett. If you were going to trade Garoppolo, you wouldn't have not even picked up the phone at the draft. You know, you would have handled yourself differently. So something changed there at the end of October. What was it? You know, maybe it all comes out. But like, so that Roachie, to me, that's the most compelling story out there, especially if Garoppolo keeps doing what he's doing.
Right. But I don't think there's a second guess immediately here just yet. I think it's more what happens in the offseason, what we see happens with Guerrero. I think that's all part of it. I agree with that. I think there's a fascinating factor here. And also, where everybody stands at the end of this whole thing between Kraft, Belichick, Brady, Guerrero, company, and where they're at, where Bill's head is at.
So quickly, I said before, I think it's real. I think all these fault lines and, it's a kerfuffle internally.
There's too much out there.
It's real. It's real.
Don't disagree.
It happened. I don't think it's going to blow up. At the end of the day,
it ends with, when they step on the football field, both Belichick, Brady, all they care about is finding a way to win for this franchise.
Yes, that's generally right. And I think cooler heads will prevail on the whole thing. It's not going to blow the team up.
If it's not good enough take for you, Mike, then so be it.
Oh, my God. Now you're turning into a martyr.
No, it's fine.
Now you become like a martyr.
Mm-mm.
You okay, Roachie?
Yeah, we got
you. Make it 54 minutes to go.
55 minutes.
Real quick, I was super late because of you. Here's Hook's update. 90 seconds, no commercial.